Hello. Thank you for tuning in. You are listening to ByteRadio.me's Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. For network or show information, visit www.ByteRadio.me or call 843-808-0777. And now, the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show with your host, Robert Sharp.
Good day, everyone, and thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. Today, I have a returning guest, one of my favorite people, J.M. DeBord, and we're going to be talking about his new book, The Dream Interpretation Dictionary, Symbols, Signs, and Meaning. Going beyond superficial explanations, The Dream Interpretation Dictionary brings a deep and rich understanding to a variety of images, signs, and symbols. It considers the context to help anyone complete their own personal jigsaw puzzle. It provides the tools to allow anyone to sort through possible connections to make sense of their dream. The Dream Interpretation Dictionary explores the messages delivered by the unconscious mind during sleep. It examines how dreams connect to daily life. It shows how dreams can lead to deeper understanding and self-awareness. Also included are a helpful bibliography and an extensive index adding to the book's usefulness. The Dream Dictionary is available at Amazon.com, and I do have a direct link to his book there in the show page description. So with that, I'd like to welcome JM to the show. Good day, sir.
Thank you, Robert. Thank you for having me back on. It's a pleasure to be here.
Oh, it's my pleasure. You know, I love following your work. Your Reddit work there as Rad Owl. I just love reading what you do there. So this is a real treat for me as well.
Thank you.
Yeah, I am. I am a fan. So I think what we'll do, since it's been such a long time since you've been on the show and we talked about your book, Dreams 1, 2, 3. I'd like to maybe spend just a few minutes just talking about dreams in general, you know, just so the people out there can, just get some basic understanding. And I do want to let listeners know that if you would like to call in and ask JM any questions about dreams or any in particular, you can call in at 619-789-4359. And for those of you listening live in the chat room, if you have any questions, feel free to type them in there. So let's first of all start with, you know, obviously you have a fascination with dreams. So how did that all come about? Where did this passion, where was the stem of this passion?
Well, you know, the best place to start is always at the beginning. So, it started for me when I was in college. I was in my early 20s. I'd been going in my program as studying government and journalism, had been going for a few years, and I really started hitting a wall in my studies, in my life in general. And I discovered a counselor, a mentor, Larry Pesavento in Cincinnati, Ohio, who when I went to see him, he started talking to me about the ways that my dreams could help me to understand my life better and to understand the challenges I was facing and access the inner resources that I needed and make the decisions, answer the questions. Of course, like many people, when you start off interpreting your dreams, it all seems very mysterious, way out there in left field, very disconnected from your everyday reality. But step by step, Larry showed me this is what your dreams are saying and how it connects with you and with your life. And then the light bulb went on, and I started studying Dr. Carl Jung. I really devoured Jung when I first encountered his work. I found a man who put things in a way that it really resonated with me. So from Jung, I went off into all of his contemporaries and followed the trail down through dream interpreters of many stripes. And then ended up at Reddit.com, where I'm known as Rad Owl. And I started sharing my work publicly there. And it really just began innocently with discovering the Dreams Forum, talking with the people there, answering questions about dreams, helping them to understand the meaning and significance. And that really encouraged me because I got a lot of very strong and good feedback from that. And it told me, hey, I've got a knack for this. I can really explain dreams in a way that anyone can understand. It also gave me a lot of really good examples to use when I wrote my first book. And since then, it has really taken off for me as a public speaker, lecturer, conductor of workshops, media host, author, all of the above. My message is really getting out there, and I'm finding that people resonate with my way of explaining dreams because it strips out a lot of the jargon that can turn people off, the psychological jargon, but still gives enough depth and understanding of dreams to really do them justice and help you to really get to the significance of what your dreams are for you.
Yeah, that's the one thing that I, you know, as I have been following you on Reddit and you've responded to people's inquiries, is that you really get down to the basics. It's just very clear cut. Many times there will be a back and forth. You may ask a question or two for some clarity to maybe, you know, provide some further information. But the one thing that you don't do is you don't go into, like you say, all that jargon. And I think, you know, when it comes to dreams, it seems that, you know, the idea of keeping it simple is really an important part, you know, of the process of understanding what they are.
Yeah, and that's one of the techniques that I use for dream interpretation is to step back from the dream. It's often hitting you with some powerful imagery in scenes, and you're involved in the action. And so really, one of the first steps you need to do is step back and simplify the dream. What is it really saying when it, for example, shows you in a scene where you are cheating on your significant other? This is a common dream theme, and I have a lot of people come to Reddit when they have a dream like this because they look at it and they go, is there some kind of subconscious desire that's coming up here? Am I doing something with my significant other? Or they dream about their, you know, that person cheating on them, and they wonder, is this dream telling me something? Is it warning me that this is actually happening? And usually the case is no, it's symbolically showing you something that's going on in your life. And if you understand cheating in the simplest sorts of terms, it means that you are doing something that is unfair, that feels unfair, that is going outside of the usual sort of boundaries of the relationship. It can mean that something is pulling you away from your relationship. So there are all kinds of ways of interpreting something like cheating, but you have to step back from it to really, and simplify it, to really see what the dream is actually saying using symbolism.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, one of the things I'm wondering, are all dreams mean, does every dream have significant meaning? Or do we have dreams that maybe, you know, are just, not really that important? Or, you know, maybe we're just processing something, or, you know, just, is each one meaningful, you know, in its own way?
I'm asked this a lot, and the answer is, no, most dreams are, well, let me start over. Most dreams are meaningful if they are memorable and they stand out to you and they engage you into the story. Some dreams are just about sort of processing the events of the day. They are about venting and releasing. They're about emptying the short-term storage of your brain and its memory capacity, and it's making room to allow new stuff in. This also works at an emotional level. Sometimes dreams are just triggering your emotions and allowing this stuff to come out so that you can start over fresh in the morning, or at least have some capacity opened up to be able to take on the next day of your life. The dreams that are the most meaningful are the ones that engage you on a story level where you are playing make-believe, your dreams are putting you into a reality, and they're turning off the rational, linear side of your mind and allowing the intuitive, nonlinear side of your mind to totally engage in this story. If you participate in the story as an actor and you really engage with it, then those are the dreams that I find to have the most meaning and significance. They are also the dreams that tend to stick out to you and be the most memorable. Those you have a you dream a lot in an average night. If you sleep for 8 hours, then on average you will spend a quarter of that time, 2 hours, in the REM stage of sleep, which has been identified as the most vivid and intense dreaming goes on during that stage of sleep. So out of 2 hours of vivid, intense dreaming, you need to have the dreams that are most important to you stick out from all of that. And those will be the dreams that really poke in your mind, that are, they engage you personally, they engage you emotionally. Those are the dreams that are the most meaningful and significant for you.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned, this storytelling aspect. Now, so, that to me, when we first spoke, that was a perspective that I never considered when it came time to, looking at my dreams and trying to understand them. And so, you talk about kind of, those that are significant are ones in which you play a role, in this particular story. So do we basically concoct this story format as a way to understand some of the things that we're going through? I mean, in a way, it seems like the storytelling format become in a way divorced. I mean, the idea of a storytelling, that you kind of think of, fables or fiction, and that you're kind of divorced from it. So, I mean, is the storytelling format a way for us to be able to, in one sense, be engaged, but the other sense, not to be so wrapped up in the whatever it is that we're trying to understand that we get lost?
Well, I find that, yeah, it does. Your dreams tell you stories because you will get the message more easily from a story, and you will engage more with a story than you would and the alternative, which is to be lectured all night by your dreams. If they are just sort of going through the motions and they're not turning things into stories and they're just recounting things verbatim, or talking to you in a very direct sort of way, then you are less likely to stay engaged with it. Stories allow you to fully engage your mind with it. When you watch a movie or you read a novel and it sucks you in, your mind is fully participating in the story, and you are allowing, you're putting down your ego barriers, and you're allowing the story to come into you. It's called suspension of disbelief. In storytelling, the first thing you have to do as a storyteller is get the reader or the viewer to suspend their disbelief. That means let's play make-believe. Let's have this story where you participate and you are totally engaged with it, and you're not stepping back and thinking, oh, it's just a story, it's just make-believe. Your dreams engage you all the way into that story so that you will really fully get the heart of it, the meat of it. Your dreams really want you to engage with these stories. There's a lot of really important stuff that's going on. You can actually make decisions for your life in story form, in dream form, that are going to determine your future. I can give you a quick example if that's okay.
Please. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's say that you are you dream that you and your spouse are considering planting a tree in your front yard, and you look around and you see that the yard already has 3 big healthy trees, and you think to yourself, I don't know if we really have room for this other tree, and you tell your spouse, I don't think this is a good idea. We need more space in our yard. So you could look at that on the surface and then go look out in your yard and be like, wait, you know, I live in a high rise. I don't have any trees in my yard. Or maybe it is your yard, but the tree, you know, something about the dream is different. And you go, okay, this is a discrepancy with reality that I know it must be symbolism. What is it really telling me? So you start riffing on ideas and you go, well, a tree is associated with a family tree. And if you are planting a tree, then it means that you could mean that you are considering having another child. You're planting a new tree. It starts with a seed. It grows, right? So go back to the dream. When you decide that there's not enough room in your yard, it could be that you are realizing that there's not enough room in your life. Maybe you already have three children that are already healthy and growing strong like the trees in your dream, and you realize they're blocking out all of the sunlight that a new tree would need to grow. And what that really means is that you are realizing your three kids are already taking all of the time, attention, and energy resources that you have as a parent. Now, you make that decision in the short term during the dream, and you're engaging with it as a story and making the decision in the story based off of the subconscious knowledge of what the symbols mean. You created the story in your unconscious mind, and so you know subconsciously what it all means, and you are allowing the story to proceed in a way that you fully participate it, and the decisions that you make during the story are actually going to carry forward. You are making a decision in that scenario to not have more children because you don't have room for them. But it doesn't mean that you can't take the lesson from the dream and go, oh, that's why I hesitate to have another child. It's a good reason. I want to make sure that if I have another child, that they're going to get everything that I have as a parent. That means that I need to figuratively make more room in my yard for that child, that tree, to be able to grow healthy and strong.
Okay. Well, that's a good example. So one of the things you mentioned subconsciously that we know, that was one of the things that I also noticed in the book, your dream interpretation book, as I was reading it, is that that was one of the, I think it was, you know, there are several facts about dreams. And one is that at least subconsciously, we already know what our dreams mean. And so, and to me, I thought, we know, this whole idea of interpretation then is just simply making what is made possibly unconscious, bring that into consciousness.
And the techniques that I teach for dream interpretation are, they really revolve around that idea of reminding yourself what you already know. You make associations, which allows your mind to just sort of brainstorm based off of the symbols in the dream. You dreamed about a tree and planting a tree. Well, what does that mean? And you start associating and you go, well, families are said to grow as trees. And then you go, okay, well, what does a yard mean? Well, a yard is the area around your home. Well, the home could represent you and your life. You just start generating ideas. You associate, you brainstorm, you allow thoughts and feelings to just sort of well up as you think about the symbols of your dreams. You make associations, and that helps you to kind of get past the rational mind and tap directly into that subconscious knowledge of what the dream means. When you do things like simplify the dream, really what it helps you to do is step back out of the story and observe it objectively so that you can see what the story is really saying. These are all ways that you can remind yourself of what you already know, which really, Robert, when you think about it, I mean, when you first encountered dream interpretation, you were probably in psychology classes, right? And you start digging
That's
deep
correct.
Into, you know,
right. uh-huh.
you're young and Freud, and yeah, hey, I know some things about you. but you know what I mean is that it can be really intimidating, and especially for people who are coming at it from a layman's background who don't have a background in psychology. Dream interpretation can really seem foreign to them. But if you simplify it as understanding it as a story that is told through a symbolism, this is your dreams. They are stories told through symbolism, and you subconsciously know what that symbolism means. And what you are really doing when you interpret a dream is you are interpreting the story, you are analyzing the story of the dream, and through that, you are reminding yourself of what you already know. When you look at dream interpretation that way, you go, well, hey, that sounds like something anyone can do, because we all have experiences with stories. We take them in every day, whether it's through TV, movies, books, you know, but also we construct narratives for ourselves, and we hear those narratives from other people about how they describe themselves in their lives. Every day we are exposed to these stories and how the stories are constructed. Once you can have a basic understanding of that, then you can understand, I call it reverse engineering the dream. You start to understand why a dream chooses a certain setting in which to tell the story, or why it includes certain characters, or why certain actions play out the way they do, or why you react the way that you do in the dream. These can all tell you things about what the meaning is and help you get conscious knowledge that you possess of what your dreams mean.
Yeah. You know, the one thing that, you know, when I think back to those college days of, you know, of dream interpretation and in the psych classes, and I look at, you know, what I do now, to me, it's like back then it was, like everything was intense. It was like super important, super deep. I mean, just, you know, I mean, it had a sense of like the super significant, you know, whereas now it's, you know, it seems to be lighter. You know, I can go through and get the meaning of it, but it's not earth shattering. It's not going to make or break me, you know. And also there's an element of fun to it, you know, and that completely shifts the whole view of dreams and also even recalling them.
Thank you for bringing that up, because I want people to know that dream interpretation is fun. You know, it's, you're being told these stories and there's a mystery there. And if you like mysteries, then you can think of yourself as a detective who's following the clues and you're piecing it together. If you like stories, man, you can learn a lot about how to tell stories, whether it's as a, you know, like an author or screenwriter, or anyone who's involved in any kind of creative arts can learn a lot from their dreams. It's not always really deep. It can be, for sure. I have had dreams that changed my life, that absolutely brought something so into my face that there was no denying it. And I knew that things had to change. I had a recurring dream about falling, and I would fall through darkness and just fall and fall, and I would never hit the ground, but I knew it was coming. And night after night, week after week, this theme recurred in my dreams. And then finally, one night, morning, I was dreaming and I hit the ground on my left shoulder. And I woke up feeling like I had been slugged by a baseball bat right at that place where my shoulder impacted. And what it meant was, is I had hit bottom. In my life, I had hit bottom. And I decided at that time that I was going to turn things around. A lot of what that decision-making process, it was still subconscious, but I, looking back now, I recognize that dream as being very important, because I made a decision that I was okay, I've hit bottom. I can't go any further down, man. It's time to change things here, you know? So dreams really can. They can open you up to the deepest levels and layers that you are as a human being. But most dreams are really kind of helping you to process your day-to-day life, to reflect you back to yourself, to give you this bigger picture perspective of yourself, and help you to live your life in a daily way so that you find more enjoyment from it, so that you have deeper relationships, so that you understand yourself better. It's a building process. You'll get those really big deep, important dreams once in a while. And hey, it might be good for you to go sit down on the couch with Dr. Freud and go through, you know, the full dream analysis, and let's go ahead, you know, and dive deep into this. But most of the time, what you're doing is you're gradually building a relationship with this other side of your mind. And what I found is that for as deep and mysterious as the unconscious mind is, it also has a sense of play and fun to it, because it knows that if our lives are constantly serious, that there comes a point when you just sort of button too many times and people stop responding. We need those times to relax and be at ease. And Robert, here's something I've noticed after all these years of studying dreams, is the more that you are centered and harmonized within yourself and you've taken care of the other issues in your life, then your dreams have less to focus on, because they're going to focus on the wounds and the hurts and the little broken places and, you know, with the problems in your life. And if you have cleared all that stuff out, well, dreams then start to become just sort of a fantasy land where you can go every night and just enjoy.
Yeah. Well, you know, when you were telling your story about the landing, you know, I had one that is just so memorable. I mean, you know, there are a couple of people in my life who know exactly that. One of the things that I've done since I was a child is astral projection. At night, I would be flying everywhere. You know, I mean, it would be above cities, and I'd have this reoccurring one to a field. But there was one time that I was in just about to wake up, I basically slammed into my body. I mean, it was just one of those things that the minute that I awoke, and one of the things you talk about, you know, in the book when it comes to dreams and dream recall, is kind of lay still, kind of take a moment, you know, before you, you know, move anything or think anything. And right at that moment, my first thought was, boy, that was a rough landing. And it was wild. I mean, that, you know, and then that was just the first thought. And then I thought, okay, well, you know, I really must have been out there, literally. But when I got out of bed, I was literally bent over. I mean, I threw my back out the worst I have ever had in my entire life. I mean, it took many treatments for me to get back to, you know, where I was okay. But I mean, it was just wild. You know, but anyway, because, you know, and I've had, you know, in those astral kinds of projection, you know, dreams, I've usually landed fine. You know, I kind of just, you know, like a skydiver, you know, or, you know, those kinds of things when they land and they kind of run, you know, that they have this kind of soft landing, you know, and that's kind of usually the way it was. But to me, that was wild. And, you know, to this day, it's like, you know, I have no idea why, you know, that was so rough, other than the fact that, you know, for the next, you know, like couple weeks, I had to really pay a lot of attention to my body, you know, and give it some extra care.
Well, you know, what you believe to be true becomes true it can become your reality, whatever it is you believe to be true. So during dreams, you believe that what's happening is actually happening, and your body can respond as if it is actually happening. It's why you can wake up from a nightmare or very exciting dream, you know, covered in sweat and your heart, you know, your pulse just, you know, going a million miles a minute. So you bring up something that's very interesting to me, because you can have these experiences and dreams that can open up new worlds for you that are internal worlds, but can also, you know, from astral projection, that you can actually go out into the physical world as a mind or spirit. I am trying to learn this right now. I'm using the Monroe Institute training course for astral projection. And I've been practicing the Focus 10. When I try to leave my body, I get all these twitches and itches and stuff, and it just tells me that my nervous system isn't ready for this yet. I'm not a natural at this. It was kind of like when I became a yoga instructor. When I first started yoga, I was the stiffest, least flexible person you've ever met in your life. And 2 years later, I was a yoga instructor who was wrapping my legs around my head, you know? So it just goes to show, you know, practice. But the point is that your dreams can help you to discover these skills and abilities. It could be anything from learning how to do something better as an athlete, in your career, your profession, as to be a better parent. Then you can get into these mental abilities. There's a guy named Srinivasa Ramanujan. He was a very famous mathematician from India. He wrote these proofs, many thousands of them, proofs, equations, that the very best mathematical minds in the world have been trying to wrap their minds around what this guy wrote. He said, now get this, he is untrained as a mathematician, and he can stump the best ones in the world with what he comes up with. He said that he was visited by a goddess in his dreams that gave him his mathematical abilities. Now, that could be, goddess could be a just sort of a costume around this very deep ability that he was obviously born with. If it wasn't trained, then he had to have been born with it. I'm not discounting, though, that there could be some kind of outside force that came to him and said, Srinivasa, let's have a wonderful dream about mathematics. This is a subject you really enjoy. I'm going to, you know, school is in session. I'm going to teach you these things, and you are going to really master this skill, and then you are going to go and share it with other people. Isn't that wild? You know, I have had so many people who've come to me and shared similar sorts of dreams. They maybe never became famous for them, but they say, it unlocked things in me, abilities, skills I never knew that I had. And thank God that my dreams came to me, because it opened up these new avenues in my life that's turned out to be very enriching and fulfilling.
Yeah, very much. You know, there's just so much, you know, within that, if we got out of our own way, that we could, you know, really, kind of really be masterful. Now, I do have one person in the chat room with a question. Her name is Corrine, and she wanted to know about when one dreams of dead loved ones in the dream, that she dreams of her parents almost every night.
Okay. Well, here's the first thing is this is a subject that requires a lot of depth and subtlety. I encourage Corrine to go to dreams123.net. That's numbers 123, dreams123.net. Look over on the right sidebar under most popular posts, and you will see number one is a post that I wrote about how to interpret dreams about deceased loved ones. This is what you're going to find out in the first couple of paragraphs, is that most of these dreams are symbolic and they connect back to you if it's immediately after the loss, you know, or soon after of a loved one, then you're still dealing with grief, with loss. You're in a healing process. This can go on for months and even years as you have these dreams that are reflecting back to you where you are at in the healing process. Most dreams about deceased loved ones are symbolic, but I have been very challenged by these questions. As a public dream expert, I get asked these things a lot, and I wanted to give the best replies, the best answers to these very, you know, important questions. So I did my research, and I ended up with Edgar Cayce, the famous psychic, who was also a masterful dream interpreter, probably one of the best that has ever lived. And Edgar would go into a trance and be able to pull up information about people's dreams, sometimes without even hearing about the dreams. All he had to do was tap into the subconscious mind of the person who had the dream, and he could see everything that was going on. And he can open up a channel two people who are in the next life or another life, and the bonds of love will keep us connected to these people through our dreams. But you need to go through a process first of eliminating the possibility that the dream is symbolic. And there are a few things that I will mention real quick that you can do to help you to sort of winnow down, you know, to go through a checklist and go, okay, is this an ordinary symbolic dream or is it a visitation with the spirit of a deceased loved one? First of all, that person that you see in your dream will look like they are healthy, happy, in their prime. They will look that way, and if you ask, they will tell you, I'm happy, I'm okay, everything's fine. All of the distress of their end of their life, that is all gone for them. So you, if you see them in your dream as angry, as sick, as tired, then you are not seeing the spirit of the person because that is not how they are living in their next life. Another thing is they have an agenda. They are coming there for a reason, usually to convey some kind of information. It can be to tell you, hey, I'm okay. I'm in the next life now. I'm still here if you need me. I'll drop by once in a while, but you need to go on with your life. I'm okay. Don't worry about me anymore. Another thing is you can look the person in the eyes and you can feel them. You can see the person, the personality. Dream characters that are symbolic, they tend to act like robots that have been scripted. They are dressed in human clothing, but they, if you really start to look at them closely and you start to ask them questions, then and you go off script, then they tend to not know how to react. There is an exception to that rule, but that's in my article. I'll ask you to go read it. So remember this. There's a reason why they're coming to you. The person is always healthy and happy. There are never any grievances or grudges or anger or sickness or sorrow or any of that stuff. And sometimes they have information that they can give you that cannot be gained any other way. And you know there is no way that your brain could come up with information. In that article, I use two examples. One, a man was told by a relative in his dream, a deceased relative, that one of their mutual relatives, there was a snake in her shower. He tells her the next morning she wakes up, she goes and checks her shower. There is a snake in her shower. For real. Okay. Now, how could that be coincidence? I have another example where a man dreamed that he, and I have a link to it, the discussion where I discovered this at Reddit. He said that he was given a dream that told him that his roof had a leak in it. And he turned out the next time it rained, you know, he found out that he actually had a leaky roof. So I've run across many examples of this. Ryan Hurd is a sleep and dream researcher who has his own stories about getting information in dreams that told him about the physical condition of his home that then turned out to be true. And there was no way that he could have guessed this otherwise.
Yeah.
So I hope that helps.
I mean, absolutely. Yeah. And just to let Corey know that I put that link to that article from dreams123.net in the chat room. But yeah, that's great. And I noticed that it's like kind of right on top. So it must be a very popular question.
Oh boy, is it. When I track the hits to my website, it's by far the number one. And I have all kinds of popular dream themes that I talk about on my website. And I get a lot of search engine hits. And that one gets three times more search engine hits than the second post in the second most popular post. So yeah, it's a question that a lot of people have.
Absolutely. Okay. Well, we're about just past halfway through the show, JM. So I want to take just a quick break. And again, I do want to invite the listeners, if you'd like to call in and ask any questions, you can call in at 619-789-4359. And for those of you listening to chat, like Corinne, if you want to ask any questions, feel free to type them in there. And then when we come back, JM, I want to kind of now shift from that general talk about dreams, talking about in particular, your new book, The Dream Interpretation Dictionary. So I've got a few questions about that, okay?
Great. Sounds great.
Great. Okay, everyone stay tuned. We'll be right back after this very brief break.
Hello, this is Robert Sharp. I want to thank you for joining us
and hope that you are enjoying today's show. Just a reminder that we have a wealth of information and resources available on our website, www.biteradio.me. There is a calendar of upcoming shows, along with an archive link to the approximately 1,000 shows that we have had over the past 5 years. Our show is available as a free podcast in the iTunes Store. You can subscribe there, or even quicker, there is a link to our show on iTunes on our website homepage. We are also on many social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Pinterest, etc., and we have buttons to those platforms on the top of our homepage. And finally, also on the site is a link to the great products we provide: books, greeting cards, photography, and a wellness store with essential oils and personal and spa products. There is so much for you to explore and enjoy on our website, www.biteradio.me. I also very much appreciate you supporting our guests, and especially today's guest. And now, back to the show.
Okay, everyone, thank you for staying with us. Again, today my very special guest is J.M. DeBord, and we're talking about dreams and his new book, The Dream Interpretation Dictionary, Symbols, Signs, and Meanings. Again, his book is available from Amazon.com, and I do have a direct link to his book there in the show page description. And I'll tell you that I have read many a dream book and many a dream dictionary, but I'm really liking this one. And as I told JM on Facebook, that it's now my go-to book for dreams, and that's a good thing. So, with that, we're back, JM.
Well, you know, that really tickled me, Robert, because I know you have a lot of experience with dreams, and you've approached it personally as a, you know, for your own exploration and dream work, and that you've also approached it, the subject, as a psychologist, or at least somebody who has studied psychology and has gone deep into, you know, the Freuds and the Carl Jungs and the others who are, you know, form the basis of dream psychology. For you to say that it's now your go-to book is a real compliment to me, and I thank you.
Well, it's my pleasure, and I like to call it as I see it. So, especially if it's something really good and useful, I certainly want my friends and listeners to know. So, well, we've got a couple callers here in the queue, so let me go ahead and take the first one. And it's Lisa from California. Hello, Lisa.
Hello. I'm interested in knowing why at certain times, especially around the full moon, that my dreams are so vivid and I can remember them, but other times I can't retain the information. I know I dreamt, I can't recall what I dreamt, but what is going on?
You know, it makes you wonder if the, you know, if is the full moon having some kind of an effect on you subconsciously. And I have read different opinions on that. I read once that the visits to ER rooms increase during full moons. I also read something that said, well, that's not true.
Being a nurse and having been in firefighting, I'm a retired firefighter, I can guarantee you the moon has some kind.
Well, here is one of my theories on that is if you, during a full moon, there's really no other physical difference other than the moon is catching more of the sun's light and reflecting it back down to the dark side of the planet. So what could be happening is that your windows are receiving more moonlight. It's making your room lighter, which is making you sleep a little bit less deeply, or at least allowing you to come back to closer to the surface, where you wake up briefly and you have a chance to kind of pull some of those dream memories from the very short-term memory where they are stored and pulling it into a longer-term memory. Simply by reflecting on a dream, you're pulling it out of that short-term storage. A lot of people have difficulty recalling their dreams, and it usually comes down to giving them the attention that they need and having time to do it, either waking up in the middle of the night or first thing in the morning or whenever you wake up, and you are devoting your first thoughts to just thinking about your dreams. So I have seen some various writings on this, and I would encourage you to go to mindfunda.com. MindFunda.com. Dr. Susan Van Dorn, that's her website, and I remember specifically her going into depth about the relationship between the moon and dreams, but I'm not able to recall the information off the top of my head. Just use the search box there and type in moon and dreams, or just moon, and you should be able to pull up that article and be able to get some more information about it.
Great. Great.
Thank
you.
Thank you, Lisa.
Thank you, Lisa. Well, you know, Jane, one of the things I really liked about the new Dream Dictionary is just what you did right there. You provided a resource not only for Corinne but also for Lisa on where to go to find answers. You know, in your Dream Interpretation Dictionary at the very back, you have a great list of online resources for people to go and check. And you include several other dictionaries. So I thought that was great. I mean, to me, you know, for someone who really wants to learn more or, you know, maybe there's or wants a different perspective or a different possibility, that's a great I found that great. I mean, I thought that was a wonderful addition to the book for those who want to explore more.
Well, thank you, Robert. As a dream expert, I've been exposed to a lot of other dream experts, and many of us come at it with the same basic set of tools, but we will have different approaches and perspectives. And sometimes the way that I approach something may not resonate with someone who's approaching the same subject from a different perspective, and maybe their way of explaining it will resonate more. You know, as a moderator at Reddit, I've had at least 20, if not more, of the leading dream experts come in and have Q&A sessions, which in Reddit speak, we call them AMAs, and Ask Me Anything, where you bring in experts. We've had everyone from, you know, former President Obama, you know, all the way through the list of celebrities, experts. Some of them are scientists maybe you've never heard of, actors, just an incredible list of people. And I have dream experts because that's my area. And I have been very privileged to be turned on to them and their work. And I was happy to include them in that list that I could give for online resources where people could go and get some. If I can't give you the answer, then I'm happy to point you towards somebody who can.
Yeah, absolutely. Matter of fact, you referred to me, Dr. Bateman,
yep.
Bernard. And now, was he on one of those discussions with you?
Yeah, I hosted him at the Jung Forum. And when I say Jung, I mean
okay.
Carl Jung, J-U-N-G.
Carl Jung.
I hosted him there. It wasn't quite dreams, so I couldn't, you know, it didn't fit with our subject matter at the Dreams Forum, but I did host him over at the Jung Forum, and we also share the same literary agent, Lisa Higgins, so it was a very good match. In fact, I am looking at Bernie's book, Connecting with Coincidence. It is here on my shelf, staring me in the face. I've been looking at it as we've been talking, so you subconsciously maybe picked up on on Bernie's name.
Well, actually, there's also a good reason for that, because I have another caller. His name is Hugh, and he wanted to ask a question about synchronicity. This was, like you say, it's not really necessarily connected with dreams, but as soon as he told me about, you know, synchronicity, I immediately thought of Bernard, Bernie Brightman, and then you. So I was like, okay. So anyway, I'm going to go ahead and bring him on and, you know, see if maybe you'll be able to help him with his question. So, Hugh, we have you there.
Yes. Hi. Thank you so much for taking my call. I heard you mention Carl Jung, and I wish he was around to examine some of the synchronicities I have. They're all over the place, from my past and the present, and I do have a special gift of what I term creative utilization of information. It's sort of a form of daydreaming. When I know somebody's interests, I keep them in mind, and in my environment, I'm able to take bits and pieces of information and weave them together and create opportunities that I can pre-qualify and bring back to them. I actually share common background with President Trump, but I'm not into the ego like he is, and I'd love to speak with the guest if he would be able to look at some of the information that I do have documented on the internet.
Okay, well,
okay.
If we get your website, I'll take a look at it. And so can we phrase this as a question?
Do you have any questions? Or if you want, you can always send me the information, and I can forward it to JM. And then he can go ahead and look at that.
Yeah, I'll call you after the show. I don't use the email, but
as far as
phrasing a question, synchronicities coming up from the past being so powerful, why would that happen?
Well, you know, it's hard from my perspective to say. I do have a lot of personal experience with synchronicities. I have found that my dreams have helped me to understand them better, and even sparked some of them, where I will see things from my dreams in my physical environment, and I will feel intuitively that there is some kind of message or an answer or a prod or a gentle sort of poking that's saying, pay attention, or here's the answer that you are seeking. I find that our world appears to be just this material world made of, you know, atoms and rocks and trees and air and humans and, you know, but it is actually a responsive environment to us. It's not just dead matter or, you know, animated matter as far as living things. The point is that it's responsive to our consciousness. And there are different ways of being able to get it to respond to us. You said that you're bringing these things into your mind and you're concentrating on them. And then you're looking in your environment and you're seeing how these synchronicities start to point you in the right direction. Well, first of all, you need to read Connecting with Coincidence by Dr. Beitman. That's Beitman. And he is an MD. He also has a website, which is coincider.com. He has a blog at Psychology Today. He is one of the world's leading experts with this subject, and I find that he explains it in a way that is very concrete, it's easy to understand, and he teaches you how to use these synchronicities as signs for you to follow. It's almost like having your tarot read, where the card comes out and you go, oh, okay, there's my answer I'm looking for. Your environment can respond to you in the same sort of way. I find that patterns in numbers, I found in nature, creatures can respond, you know, birds and insects, and, you know, the environment that we live in is responsive to our consciousness. And when we seek something by focusing on it and really giving it our attention, that our environment can give us answers back. Paulo Coelho I don't know if I pronounce his name right, sorry, but he wrote The Alchemist, and that is a very subversive book in the sense that it's teaching everyone how to do this through a fictional story about a boy who learns how to read his environment and follow the clues.
That's so wonderful.
Okay,
can I give one real quick example
off of that? We're getting down toward the end of the show, and I really need
I'll call you then. Thank you.
Perfect. Yeah. JM, I really wanted to kind of – I have a few more questions and comments about the Dream Dictionary. So I kind of really want to get to that, and we can do that offline. First of all, you know, with there being so many Dream Dictionaries out there, why did you feel that you needed or wanted to do this one?
Yeah, I know. It can seem like I'm rehashing, you know, just kind of rehashing ground that's already been tread. Dream dictionaries are accessible to people in a way that other books are not. When somebody is looking for information about their dreams, the first place that many people look to is a dream dictionary. So I wanted to write one that could also be out there as an option for people, but to put more information into it about how to interpret your dreams and how to personalize your dream symbols, how to see your dreams as stories with all of these interrelated details. And that is by following the story, that is what will tell you what the real meaning and significance of the dream is. So I wrote the Dream Interpretation Dictionary to be accessible to people, but also to weave in this other advice about dream interpretation that can help them to figure out their dreams for themselves so they no longer need a dream dictionary to do it for them.
Right. So now, with all of the, I mean, almost an unlimited number of topics, how did you whittle it down to the ones that you included in the book?
Well, you know, I have been for years as a moderator at Reddit, I have been, before my eyes, have been this constant stream of dream reports. I know what people are dreaming about these days. Some of them are the classic symbols, you know, homes and family and school and, you know, sex. These have all been covered by other dream dictionaries, and I cover them too, but with my own twist and way of teaching the subject. But I'm also finding dreams about email and YouTube and Facebook and celebrities. We mentioned Donald Trump. That is one of the entries in my dictionary. I've run across a lot of dreams about Trump and some of these other celebrities like Snoop Dogg and Kanye West. It's amazing how many times they come up in dreams. So I wrote about them. I wrote about zombies because people are pulling in a lot of, you know, zombie movies and flicks and shows and stuff. And it's a common dream theme. So what I did was is I chose the dream themes, the symbols that I thought were the most common and the most meaningful. And I have about, there's a little over 750 of them that are in my book. You can see other dream interpretation dictionaries that have 10,000 entries in them, but I can almost guarantee you that 9,900 of those very rarely come up in dreams. I wanted to focus on the ones that are the most prevalent, the most important, the most significant.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and that's the one thing about yours that I really like, too, is the contemporary aspect to it. You know, like you said, you know, the Facebook, YouTube, and Obama and Trump, you know, those kinds of things that, you know, that, you know, we're constantly bombarded with, you know, on a daily basis, or we use like Facebook, you know, on a daily basis. Are these societal aspects, because they're so such a part of our life, that there's kind of a natural tendency for them to seep into the dreams and become part of the story?
Absolutely, because your unconscious mind is picking up on all of this information that's coming in, and it's always thinking, how can I turn this into a story? It's sort of like Stephen King. Once you learn, I really love him as an author, and I've read a lot of his personal stuff, including his memoir on writing. And he talks about how he's constantly taking in this stuff from his environment and thinking as a storyteller about ways that he can use this stuff, including his dreams, to help him to tell his stories. So your dreaming mind is back there and it's taking this in. You're watching the show The Walking Dead or something, and your dream goes, hey, now I've got a good zombie dream that I can throw at you here. And it's not just because you watch the show, it's because your dreaming mind can take it and use it to tell you a story. So you're always on the lookout for these things, and we're always being exposed to stories in various forms, and you have that part of your mind that's sitting back there just loading up, you know. Like, okay, I've got some new material here and I can really get your attention with this. I can tell you a great story that has personal meaning and significance.
Okay, yeah, that was the one thing that, again, that I found really that I really like about your dictionary that I have not seen in others, and recognizing that, you know, in my own dreams, you know, those things pop up. Now, one other aspect of the dictionary that you have that I really like are what you call hub entries. Can you explain that? Because I think that also is a useful tool for people to be able to kind of gain that understanding about their own personal symbolism.
Yeah, the hubs are like your, they are the central subjects of which connect many other subjects. So you could look at the family hub. You look up that entry in the dictionary, and it will point you towards everything that is in the dictionary related to family, such as, you know, brother, sister, you know, other types of relatives, mom, dad, parents. These are all possibilities that could come up. Your family home, people dream about their family home a lot. So what you're looking for is the ways that these things connect together, because oftentimes one entry in the dictionary can't give you all the information that you need. But if you look up all the related entries, you can get the information that you need to be able to piece together the clues that tell you what your dream means. So it is different. And what I wanted to do was create a way of having a dream guide built into the dictionary itself. And if you take a subject such as the psyche, you start there and you read all the related entries, what you have is basically a chapter about all of the subjects related to the psyche, such as the ego and the unconscious mind and all that. And you can step back and really have a good base of knowledge in which to use to interpret your dreams.
Yeah, that's great. And then one other aspect of your interpretation dictionary that I think is very useful is that right after the list of entries, you also have a way for people to – a process for people to follow to interpret. And for the beginner, that's going to be invaluable. And I think that was a great addition to the book as well.
Thank you, Robert. What I wanted to do, because it's such a thick book, it's almost pages of textbook size, you know, so it's a really big book and it can be daunting. But what I did was I put in a section called Figuring Out Your Dreams, which gives you a step-by-step process for learning these different techniques for dream interpretation, for understanding the dream environment better. It walks you through it in, I think it's about 30 to 40 pages. You can read that first, have the base of knowledge, have a great primer for understanding your dreams, for interpreting them, and then take what you learn from there and be reminded as you go through the entries. They will remind you of the things that are in the section about figuring out your dreams that will help you to understand the individual symbols and then how to connect them all together into this big picture, which is your dream.
Yeah, that's great. So one of the things that I want people to recognize is that you can use the dictionary to look up specifics from your dreams. But I'll tell you, I'm honestly having fun going through and reading it just as a book, and all of the different, you know, interpretations and meanings, and it's just fun. And what I think that's going to do for me too is it's going to give my subconscious some more tools, some more storytelling tools to be able to, you know, be able to create craftier and more interesting stories at night.
Well, you know, as a storyteller, one of the best things that you can learn how to do is to help readers to suspend their disbelief and pull into the story, and also how to tell the story between the lines to allow the reader's imagination to fill in those gaps. As a writer, you don't want to tell them everything. I find that kind of writing to be very boring. It's like an instruction manual, you know. Here's how to put together your vacuum cleaner. No, your dreams want to be right. Interesting to you, and you can learn from them as a creator of, you know, a writer, artist, musician, you can learn from your dreams how they craft their stories, and you can become a more creative person who does a better job of creating things and making them accessible to people by paying attention to how your dreams do it. All you writers and screen, writers and you actors and artists and anybody who's involved in creativity, marketing, whatever it is, if you're a creative person, then you can learn from your dreams. And if you are not creative, you can learn how to be creative from your dreams. They're awesome examples. And I say that the dreaming mind is the best storyteller ever. Over and over again, I run across incredible examples of these very metaphorical, symbolic dreams that are also deeply meaningful and significant.
Exactly. Well, I want to thank you for your time, JM. This has been great. So if the listeners want to be able to follow you or get in touch with you, how would they do that?
Well, I'm on Facebook, and you and I talk a lot on Facebook. Just put in @interpretdreams, one word. It'll get you to my Facebook fan page. You can also look me up at dreams123.net, and I encourage your listeners to look up the We Love Dreams newsletter. This is my I put together a newsletter that is also an online course for dream interpretation. If you sign up, just search for it with your favorite search engine, We Love Dreams newsletter, and sign up, and you will start getting emails from me that will walk you through all of these resources I have for free online. You can get a taste of the way that I interpret dreams, and if it resonates with you, then take the next step, grab my book. But you can also get a lot of this information I have on my blog, I have on podcasts, I have it in videos that I've made, and it's all there waiting and accessible. So, at reddit.com, go to dreams.reddit, reddit.com. That is where I am, Rad Owl. I am the main moderator, but I have a great team with me who also are big dream enthusiasts. Some of them are dream interpreters and professionally trained even. And we all kind of looked at this constant stream of dreams that are coming in there. It's a great community for sharing your dreams and getting more information. So I look forward to hearing from your peeps, Robert.
Yeah, I enjoy reading the Reddit threads. They're quite interesting. So, well, thank you again, JM. I really appreciate your time. Thank you for putting together the Dream Interpretation Dictionary. I really like it. And as a matter of fact, my mother-in-law, who's like 83 years old, when she asked me who was on my show today, I just held up your book and she goes, "I want that."
My goodness, that is awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm going to have to lend it out, I'm afraid. So, but definitely for someone of any age. So thank you again for your time, and I look forward to keeping in touch.
I do too, Robert. Thank you. And thank you for giving me the opportunity to talk to your listeners and spreading the good news about dream interpretation.
Great. Again, everyone, today my very special guest has been J.M. DeBord. We have been speaking about his new book, The Dream Interpretation Dictionary, Symbols, Signs, and Meanings. And again, his book is available at Amazon.com. I highly recommend it. I do have a direct link to his book there in the show page description. And also look him up on dreams123.net. So everyone, I want to thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. And until we meet again.
Thank you for tuning in. You've been listening to the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. Be sure to visit our website at www.biteradio.me. That's biteradio.me. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at Byte Radio Me, and our shows are also available as a free podcast from iTunes. And until we meet again, remember to be a bright light by bringing inspiration to your world and to the lives of those you touch.